Chapter 25. Coming back from the galley where I'd gotten a cup of coffee more out of habit than because I wanted one, I set the mug on my office desk, then moved it aside because it annoyed Skippy when there was clutter on the desk where his avatar materialized. "Hey, Skippy."
"Hey, Joe."
His familiar admiral's form popped into life. He made minor changes to the avatar regularly. It looked like the blue of his coat was a shade darker, and the gold braid on his hat a little shinier. He never mentioned the changes, and if he was hoping for me to comment and praise him, he would be waiting a very long time.
"What's up?"
"We got the flight plan data."
"Yes, we do. Is this conversation going to be a way for you to waste time because still you have no way to kill the target ships?"
No, because even if we did have a really good practical plan to attack those ships, we first need to talk about the sequence of events. I have some ideas and want to bounce them off you."
"Sequence of events? Like you say something stupid and then I laugh at you?"
"That is the logical sequence based on the laws of causality, but if you want to save time, I can mock you in advance, since we all know you will say something stupid eventually."
"No, the system we've been using works great," I groaned with an internal eye roll.
"Besides, how could you tailor your insults if you don't know which stupid thing I'll say?"
That is a good point.
"I have a list of pre-made insults ready, but it is so much more rewarding when I make up something snappy on the spot."
"Okay, then. What did you mean by sequence of events?"
"I meant we now know the schedule for the target ships, so we have a list of things we need to do, like usual. But this time I don't think we have to do them 1, 2, 3. We could do item 2 first, then 3, then 1.
"I'm not following you, Joe."
"Okay." I opened my laptop screen and read the list I had created.
"We need to destroy those 2 ships. Well, first you need to figure out how to do that impossible task, Joe."
"Yeah, I know that. For now, assume we figure out a brilliant plan. So we..."
"Assume? Oh, sure, no problem. Let's also assume that pigs can fly," he laughed.
"I'm trying to be serious here, asshole."
"All right," he sighed. "I will try to take this ridiculous conversation seriously. Fine, I will assume this beat-up piece of crap ship can take on and destroy 2 Maxulk's warships. I assume, however we do, that will also miraculously include a plan for this ship to survive the battle, and..."
"No," I shook my head emphatically. "That is something we are not assuming. That's kind of the point."
"Okay. Now I am intrigued and you have my attention. Continue, please."
"We can't assume the Dutchman will survive that battle, so I think we may have to get everything else done before we hit those ships. You understand what I'm saying now?"
"Ah, yes. And you are right. We might need to act out of sequence. This is a rare example of you thinking ahead and considering consequences. How did that happen?"
"Very funny, jackass. To make sure we understand each other, here's my list. We need to destroy those ships. We need to plant a cover story in a Maxulk's relay station, and that has to be a relay station along the route the target ships would have plausibly taken on their way home. My question is, could we plant the cover story in a relay station before we attack those ships? That way, if the Flying Dutchman does not survive the battle, the cover story will already be waiting to be released to the Maxulks.
Again, that is good thinking. We cannot assume the Dutchman will be able to fly to a relay station after the battle. And yes, I could plant the cover story in a relay station before we fly off, on a foolish quest to tangle with 2 warships that could crush the pathetic Dutchman like swatting a fly. We should plant the cover story first, and I can easily delay release of the fake report. There are 2 problems with that plan, Joe."
Like what?"
"First, you have not yet told me what the cover story is going to be. Whatever story you dream up, it has to be pretty incredible to explain the disappearance of 2 advanced warships and persuade the Maxulks that they do not need to launch a full-scale investigation, including sending a large task force to Earth."
"Thank you so very much for reminding me that. Second,
dum-dum,
your cover story might determine which particular relay station those ships supposedly contacted on their return journey. So you need to dream up this cover story before we even set course for the relay station."
"How do you figure that?"
"If the cover story says everything was fine with the expedition until the target ships were almost home," he explained patiently, "then we need to plant the cover story in the relay station that is on the expedition schedule. Except that station has a Maxulk's crew, and we need to use an automated relay station. So, your cover story needs to include some mysterious reason why the ghost ship survived the return ship, but could not reach the relay station on the schedule and had to contact a different station, an automated one."
"Shit. You're right. I hadn't thought of that. Before you say it, I know that sometimes I am an idiot.
Agreed.
Good. Except for the sometimes part. Seriously, how are you going to explain how those two ships survived the long trip all the way to Earth and back, but then were lost in Maxalt's territory just before they returned to base?
I don't know yet, Skippy.
Thank you. It is super helpful to have you reminding me of all the impossible crap I need to do.
Oh, goody. Hey, if I'm being helpful to you, that means I get partial credit for whatever crazy idea you dream up, right?
How could an awesomely smart AI be so freaking clueless, I asked myself.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. I couldn't do it without you. That time I could not stop my eyes from rolling.
Hmph, he sniffed. This whole conversation was a waste of my precious time.
You can't decide which action to do first until you have a plan for what you're going to do and how to do it. Really, you need a plan to destroy those ships and a good cover story, and you need to select a relay station before you can do anything.
Skippy, you are an endless source of support and comfort.
I am?
Crap, I was going for tough love, Joe. Clearly, I need to be more...
You're doing just fine the way you are. Don't mess with what works, Skippy.
If you say so, Joe.
Talking with you has been helpful. I'm going to plan for us to plant the cover story before we hit those ships.
Sure, he chuckled.
I think that's like you trying to decide between riding a flying pig or a unicorn, but go ahead, have fun.
Well, you have a lot of work to do, and chatting with me is only taking up your time, so get to work.
Wait!
He held up a finger, a giant foam finger that suddenly sprouted from his holographic hand.
The target ships have not even launched yet, so we have plenty of time.
Yeah, I know. Several people have asked me if we should use the time to go back to Earth. My answer has been hell no.
I know, I heard those conversations.
Colonel Smythe did make a good argument in favor of returning to Earth to bring aboard additional personnel.
No, he said that would be the only reason to go all the way back to Earth, and he also told me that is a bad idea.
We agreed a return would give UNEF an opportunity to screw with us. Plus, I glanced outside my office door to make sure no one was lingering in the passageway. Some of the crew may get homesick, have second thoughts, and want to jump ship. Being near home may be too tempting.
Is there a reason that you want to go back?
You hate the mudball we call home.
I do not hate Earth, Joe. I mentioned we have plenty of time because the ship needs downtime for maintenance. Heavy maintenance, not the light running repairs I have been conducting while we fly.
Really, we should take the ship apart completely. The main reactor needs work that requires it to be detached and far away from the forward section to protect the crew section from hard radiation.
That is not happening.
It needs to happen, dum-dum.
How about after this mission?
If the Dutchman survives a battle with two Maxalt ships, it will need serious work.
But okay, we can compromise.
I need the ship to be offline for 18 to 20 days just to make repairs so it doesn't fall apart, and I assume you want the ship to be in the best possible condition before we attack the Maxalts?
He did not need me to reply.
The ship will have auxiliary power so the crew can remain aboard. We do not need to evacuate to a habitable planet this time.
That sounded horribly risky to me. Taking the ship's main power offline in enemy territory would leave us exposed and vulnerable. Without main power, we could not run the stealth field for more than a couple hours. The point defense system and energy shields would also be unavailable.
20 days?
Possibly as few as 18. Don't be so pessimistic.
Listen, Dum-Dum, when we were at the Roach Motel, you were in a panic to pop smoke and get out of there ASAP, so I slapped the junkyard parts together quick and dirty with duct tape and a prayer. Some of those quickie patches are wearing out. I need to fix them before something important goes kablooey. Understood?
Okay. Okay, I assume you have selected a place where we can safely take the ship offline?
Yes, it is highlighted on the chart.
He pointed to my laptop.
Another dull and totally uninteresting red dwarf star system. This particular system is centered on a low-mass M8V-class star, with one gas giant of approximately Neptune size in a distant orbit, and three small rocky inner planets. No planets are in the narrow Goldilocks zone, therefore there is no reason for anyone to ever visit there. According to charts I stole from the Maxalts, the only survey of the system was conducted by a Rindaloo ship 800,000 years ago, and that ship only stayed long enough to collect sensor data. If you were looking for the middle of nowhere, this star system is close.
Okay. I was only half paying attention to his spiel, because I was studying the chart on my laptop. From what I could understand, the star system was just about the perfect place to hide out for a while. It was not real close to any Elder wormholes, plus it was within 4 light-years of the flight path the target ships were scheduled to take. Once repairs to the ship were complete, we could move out to intercept the Maxalts quickly.
After, you know, we had a plan for how to destroy those ships.
And a cover story. And after we planted that cover story in a relay station, an automated relay station. I hate details.
Okay, Skippy, that makes sense, I agreed.
Working on the ship was better than sitting around with nothing to do while we waited for the target ships to launch.
I'll tell Sims to set course for this place. Before your magical little elf bots take the ship apart, I need to see a list of all the work you're planning to do. Got it?
We took the ship to Nowheresville, the name we chose for that star system, and flew around there for 2 days before I was satisfied the system was totally uninhabited and as uninteresting as Skippy promised. The ship was parked in orbit around a small planet just beyond the Goldilocks zone where the crew would be safe from solar flares and where our powered-down ship could be inconspicuous among the dozens of small moons. Skippy's elf-bots went to work immediately, and I gave him permission to remotely pilot a small Dragon-Aid dropship because he wanted to send it to another planet to look for useful minerals or something like that. A busy Skippy is a happy Skippy, and a busy Skippy also does not have as much time to sing and build sex bots and do other stuff that made my life more difficult. Everything was going great, by which I mean the crew enjoyed downtime in between training sessions. I had time to think, which was not going well. I still had zero freaking idea how to successfully attack the target ships or what to use as a cover story. The important thing was the repairs were going well, except that the repairs didn't mean squat unless we had a plan for what to do after the ship was put back together. My life sucks. Anyway, 12 days into what Skippy estimated would be a 14-day repair cycle, Nagatha contacted me and made my day extra super-duper wonderful.
"Good morning, Joseph," she said in the soothing voice a mother uses when she announced fresh-baked cookies are coming out of the oven.
My mother makes excellent chocolate chip cookies. They have crispy edges where the sugar caramelizes or something. Man, I miss my mom. I feel bad that I'm away for so long, and she doesn't know where I am or what's happening to me. Okay, back to the subject.
Good morning to you, Nagatha. Are you learning a lot about how to make repairs?
Oh, yes. It is quite complicated, and Skippy is showing me every detail, explaining everything to me in case I need to maintain the ship by myself.
That surprised me and pleased me.
Well, that's great. I'm glad he's being cooperative.
A bit too cooperative, which is what aroused my suspicions.
Just like that, she burst my little bubble of happiness. Despite knowing Nagatha was an advanced alien AI, she made me feel like I was talking with an aunt who was gracious and wore pearls and did not appreciate foul language.
Shoot. Dang it. What is he up to now?
Right now, he is intensely focused on the delicate task of aligning the deuterium injectors, so I am able to mask our conversation from him. It is my belief that he lied to you about why he chose this star system. The reason he borrowed a dropship is not to search for valuable minerals. It is to search for an elder site.
An elder site? Here?
Correct. This star system is not on the original list of places where he suspected there are elder sites unknown to current species, but he has been refining his list based on data recently acquired from the Max Hulks, and he discovered this system is a prime candidate. Joseph, he has identified a partially intact elder site on a moon orbiting the innermost planet.
How is that possible? We should have detected a site when we spent 2 days flying around to survey this place.
I now believe the ship's sensors did pick up inconclusive signs of an elder facility, but Skippy hid that data from you and me. He is frightfully smart, you know.
Clenching my fists didn't help, nor did counting to five.
How long will he be busy with the injectors?
The most delicate part of the task will be complete in 37 minutes. With Skippy's vast capacity, he can align the injectors while speaking with you. However, I suspect your conversation will be loud and angry, and he might get distracted.
Okay. I'll wait. I'm going to the galley to get coffee. Ping me when that little shithead is available. I was so angry I forgot about not using foul language with Nagatha. The galley did not have any fresh coffee, and the dregs in the pot had baked to a thick tar that could have been used to glue armor plating to the hull, if we had any armor plating. There was a pan with 3 slices of coffee cake from 3 days ago. That could have been used as armor plating. I made a fresh pot of coffee and scraped the hardened coffee cake out of the pan while waiting for the coffee to brew. One problem with having such a small crew is we could not assign people to the galley 1 day per week.
Instead, teams of three people took turns preparing dinner, while breakfast and lunch were usually fend-for-yourself meals. 3 days ago, I had gotten up early to make 2 pans of coffee cake as a treat for the crew, and most of it disappeared quickly. Then the last pan got shoved into a corner, and I forgot about it. Our meals were pretty bland, also. Sims had assured the ship had basic supplies aboard, but we did not have a wide variety of food. We were very grateful for the hydroponics gardens, although I was getting tired of eating salads for dinner. Salads with marinated slices of beef, or buffalo chicken, or just spicy croutons and pan-roasted nuts. Dinners were nutritious and healthy, and I could not wait to get back to Earth. The next night was my turn in the galley, and I was going to make pizza, damn it. Nagatha pinged me that Skippy was available just as I got back to my office and took a sip of coffee, a rare example of good timing by me. "Hey, Skippy." I tried to keep the irritation I felt out of my voice. It didn't work. "Hey, Joe, what are you pissed off about now?"
"Not what. Who?"
"Hmm." His avatar leaned forward, making a sniffing sound. "That is fresh coffee, so I am guessing you are peeved at whoever took the last cup without making a fresh pot."
"Nope. I am pissed at you for lying to me. You wanted us to come to this system not because it is a safe place for the ship to be down for maintenance, but because there is an elder site here."
"Crap. Did Nagatha tell you?" "How did she find out?"
"Never mind that. You lied to me.
That does not change the fact that nobody in the galaxy knows about the elder site here, dum-dum, so no harm done. We had to go somewhere to fix the ship. This system is as safe as any."
"Nobody else knows that you are aware of, you dum-dum. This star system has something every species in this galaxy would kill to get.
Gosh, what are the odds that one of them found that site by luck, or because they are smarter than your arrogant ass can admit? If that elder site is not in the Maxalt's database, then nobody knows about it, you knucklehead."
"Really?"
I put my entire lifetime supply of disdain into that word.
"So you think there is no way a species that found a treasure trove of elder goodies would keep it a secret?"
"Well, shit," he sighed. "When you say it like that, it just makes me look ridiculous."
"You think?"
"You are not helping my self-esteem, Joe."
"I am not trying to help.
Here's what I would like to do to your self-esteem, you lying little shithead. First, I will kick it in front of a bus, and after your self-esteem has been squashed flat and ground into the scuzzy grime on the road, I will unzip my pants and..."
all right, I get the idea.
Hey, I was going to tell you about it soon anyway." Somehow, despite how incredibly trustworthy he had been, I did not believe him.
"You were? Because you knew Nagatha was on to your lies?"
"No," he pouted.
"Because I need your help."
"Hmm. You realize that needing help is not a good motive for telling the truth."
"It's not?
I mean, no, it's not. Of course not."
"Why is that?"
"You were supposed to tell the truth because friends don't lie to each other."
"What?"
"Oh, come on," he snorted. "Lying is the basis for many friendships. Lies like, you know, she wasn't good enough for you anyway. That company didn't appreciate your talents. That dress doesn't make you look fat. If your friends won't lie to make you feel better, who will?"
"Those are not..." I started to retort, but damn it, he was partly right about that.
"That's not the point." The smug tone of his voice told me he figured he had won that argument.
"Anywho, I do need your help. Joe, I think there are elder goodies on that moon, and I need people, to go down there."
The tempting thought of acquiring elder technology made me bite back the reply I had planned.
"What kind of goodies?
Crunchy chocolate on the outside with a delicious caramel center? Be serious if you want my help."
"I am being serious. I don't know exactly what is down there, but the site is partially intact. It was a big site, and most of it is gone. But there are outlying structures that were only damaged. Because the structures are elder tech, I can't scan inside them with the Dragon's crappy sensors. My bots are all busy working on the Dutchman, and I don't want to risk damaging one of them because they can't be replaced."
"Uh-huh. But you are totally okay with us monkeys risking our lives?"
Yes?
Or, no. Pretend I said whatever thing will get me in the least trouble. Look, we both know you can't pass up an opportunity to ransack an elder site, so how about we imagine we had an informed, rational adult conversation, and then you do what I asked, okay?
Skippy, why is arguing with you a complete waste of time?
Joe, I do not mind participating in arguments or debates or whatever you want to call it. All I ask is to get whatever I want after a reasonable amount of discussion.
Oh, boy.
The beer can got his way. Again. After a very careful scan of the entire star system, during which Nagatha reviewed every piece of data to make sure Skippy wasn't holding out on us, I was satisfied he was right about one very important thing. There was no current alien presence in the system, and no one had been there for a very long time. Because Smythe wanted to use the Elder site for training, and because the new people were dying to see what an Elder structure looked like, and because there was no way we could pass up an opportunity to collect Elder technology, I approved a mission to that moon. After Skippy put the Dutchman back together. That moon was a long way away. We only had one big Condor dropship left, and it would take a long time to fly there through normal space. The unmanned dragon that Skippy flew remotely had been able to use single-use boosters to get there, and burned most of its fuel in a high-G maneuver to slow down and swing into orbit. The math I did on my laptop, and yes, I am capable of plotting math for normal space navigation, told me it would actually be faster to wait for the Dutchman to be back online and jump across the star system than to fly there in a dropship. Skippy did not like that. He also did not disagree with my math, which astonished us both. Since the ship needed to perform a short-range test jump anyway, we jumped near the target moon and had the ship on a hair trigger to jump away at the first sign of trouble. There were no signs of trouble, so 4 hours later, we dropped down to the surface in a pair of Falcons and a Dragon. There were 3 primary sites to explore, and after the near disaster on our second mission, when an away team exploring an Elder site got trapped there by a Kristang battle group jumping in unexpectedly, I was determined that each team be no more than 5 minutes away from a dropship that was ready to fly. The dropships had their main cabins depressurized and the back ramps open, so each 3-person away team could run up the ramps side by side. We were taking enough chances on this mission. I was not allowing any unnecessary risk. There's not much to tell about the Elder site. The main complex had been scooped out and thrown into another dimension. There was a shallow crater in the center of the site. Somebody had decided that big crater had not done the job, so a bombardment from orbit followed, blowing chunks out of the central crater and digging so deep that molten lava had partly filled in the crater's bottom. Structures on the periphery of the main crater had also been hit, but that bombardment was oddly hit or miss, if you pardon the pun. Some structures had been obliterated. Others appeared to have only collateral damage from nearby explosions, like they had not been targeted at all. Those structures were where we concentrated our search. "Skippy," I whispered, while my helmet lights illuminated a hallway that had not been walked on for millions of years, yet was so clean that I felt guilty about the dust I tracked in on my boots. "This place is empty. Is that why whoever destroyed the main base didn't bother to hit this area?" "No, Joe," he answered quickly, excitedly. "Well, maybe. But I found another possible explanation. With the Dutchman's sensors, I have been scanning the surface, both of this moon and the planet below. There is debris from not one, but 2 Elder starships. Do not get your hopes up. Mine have already been crushed. The destruction of those ships was complete. The largest piece I have found is smaller than a grain of sand." "Well, that was disappointing." "So how do you know there were 2 ships if there is nothing left of them?" "Not nothing. There is still plenty of mass for me to analyze. The chemical signatures of the hulls are unique, like a fingerprint. Hull plating is exposed to radiation, micrometeor impacts, even flying through the interstellar medium erodes and affects the hull material. The ISM, yeah, stray hydrogen atoms or whatever. I remembered him being fascinated by the ratio of hydrogen to helium or some nerdy thing like that." "Correct." He was pleased I remembered the subject at all. "As ship hulls are exposed to different space environments throughout their lives, they're altered in a unique way. In this case, I can tell one ship spent significant time near a supergiant star, while the other ship apparently was in storage for an extended period, because its plating is older, but shows few effects of exposure to stellar radiation."
Don't want to complicate things, but couldn't that be one ship that had damaged plating replaced with plating that sat on a shelf for a long time?"
"No, dum-dum." He was peeved. "Without giving you a full explanation, which would require a brain transplant for you to have any hope of understanding, a ship's hull plating is also affected by the ship itself. Radiation from the reactors, plasma leaking from conduits, gases deposited from dropship thrusters, all are unique. Plus, in this case, I can tell one of the ships was in a firefight before, because the hull plating shows effects of scarring from high-energy weapons. That scarring is on the older plating, so unless some Elder shipyard cuts corners by reusing plating from a damaged ship, I feel pretty safe stating there were 2 ships destroyed here. Do you really want to continue questioning my analysis?"
"No, please." I would have facepalmed myself for being stupid if I wasn't wearing a helmet.
You sure?
I can go on with the nerdy stuff all day, if you like.
I would not like.
Please, I apologize for daring to question the great and powerful Skippy. Okay, so why does it matter that a pair of ships crashed here? We've seen wreckage of Elder ships before.
It matters because... Ugh,
why are you so dense? I was hoping you would have guessed by now.
My fault for expecting you to use logic.
Joe, those two Elder ships were fighting each other.
He shushed me before I could ask another stupid question.
I know that because the signatures of the weapons involved. Not only do I know the weapons were Elder technology, I know two sets of weapons were used. Therefore, two ships of equivalent technology were involved.
Signatures like the frequency of the laser cannons?
Please, Joe, the Elders did not use anything crude like laser beams, he scoffed. These weapons disrupted matter at a quantum level or created rifts in space-time.
I thought you said the Elders did not have weapons. They were peaceful and had no enemies.
Apparently I was wrong about that. Duh! Try to keep up, Joe.
If he saw any irony in admitting he was wrong while slapping me with a duh, he didn't show it.
Man, being clueless must be so blissful.
I'm so sorry, Skippy. It's okay. I should know not to expect you to understand complicated. I meant I am sorry for you.
Damn it, why was I trying to comfort him when he was so determined to be an asshole?
Huh? Sorry for me? About what?
Because, I gritted my teeth, feeling my patience running out.
What you thought about the Elders was wrong, and now you are even further from understanding who you are and where you came from.
Oh. He went quiet, making me irritated that he might be thinking up a fresh insult to slap me with.
Thank you, Joe, he finally said without a trace of snarkiness.
You are the only person who truly understands what that means to me.
I feel so alone, Joe.
And lost.
You and some of the other monkeys and Nagatha tried to help, but only you really get it.
We were having a genuine moment.
You were never alone with us, Skippy.
And he could not help being an asshole because he is an asshole.
Sure, he muttered. If I want to consort with ignorant monkeys, damn, my life is pathetic.
I am also sorry that we monkeys are so filthy and ignorant. I rolled my eyes, making my faceplate display go haywire because it thought I was trying to eye-click a command.
It is not your fault, Joe. I blame the billions of your ancestors who...
Could we get back to the subject, please? It's kind of important, you know.
Two Elder ships were fighting each other here.
You think that is why some structures here survived? The ship that was bombarding this moon to clean up couldn't finish the job because it was attacked by a second ship, and those ships destroyed each other?
That is a good guess, Joe. Good as my own guess.
Yes, that is what I think happened.
That is also why I am very, well, somewhat hopeful that we might find intact Elder artifacts here. As you said, the cleanup job here was not finished.
Yeah, it also means that what was going on was not the Elders tidying up their stuff so no one could screw with it after they ascended to Shangri-La or whatever. The bombardment of this base was an attack, a hostile action. I'm going to tell Smythe to keep an extra sharp eye for trouble and not take any risks.
Come on, Joe.
The snarkiness was back. This place is dead. What trouble do you expect?
Well, Gingerbread was dead, too.
You remember that creepy ancient maintenance bot in the tunnel under Gingerbread? It could have trapped and killed Smythe's team if Adams and I hadn't found a way around it to rescue them.
Oh. In an instant, he went from snarky to chastened.
I do remember that. Good point, Joe. Please warn the team to be very careful.
Don't worry about us, Monkey Skippy. We know enough to climb a tree when we see a lion.
I'm concerned about you.
Me? Why?
Because you just learned something surprising, something very bad about the Elders. That kind of shock can affect anyone, even you. Can you promise me you will do your best not to think about Elder ships fighting each other until we are done searching this moon?
Again, you do not need to worry about me. I am not a meat sack.
Unlike you filthy monkeys, I have complete control over my emotional responses.
Yeah. I tried to mask the sarcasm.
That's what I was thinking. We are counting on you, Skippy. Do not get distracted and let us down.
Fine, Mr. Busybody, have it your way.
I just created a submind to ponder the implications of Elder ships fighting each other and locked that submind off from my higher order consciousness. That submind will not contact me until after all you monkeys are safely aboard the Dutchman. Will that make you happy?
It will make me happier. Thanks.
We were extra super-duper careful, and it didn't matter.
Most of the structures were either empty or contained equipment that was so decayed by age and exposure, Skippy had to guess the function of some of the gear. The good news is none of us got killed or even injured, unless you count Katie Frey, who had the bad luck of falling through a weak floor. She landed on her feet gracefully, though, assisted by her suit. It would be great to say she found a treasure trove of Elder tech under the floor, but she didn't find anything useful down there. We searched all the structures, and we found a grand total of nothing useful. That was maddening. That site was our best opportunity to obtain tech we could use against species like the Maxalts, and it was freaking empty. The better than good news was that Frey's unlucky fall that made Skippy scan under the structures. No, there were no hidden chambers or tunnels under the structures. Okay, there were a few chambers for equipment, and we did locate one tunnel, but it only contained cabling and a sort of tram that was empty and decayed. To analyze the moon under the surface, Skippy had to closely examine the soil and rocks and create a model so he could compare what should be there to what the scans were showing him. That is how we hit the jackpot.